All right, we are on notes on 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter, lesson 4, and we're on page 2. And last time we left off, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13 in our book. 1 Corinthians 13 in the Bible. Wonderful, wonderful word of life. 1 Corinthians 13. And if memory serves me correctly, we are on verse 7. Still, verse 7.
Well, there's a lot in there.
There is. Yeah, verse 7 says, bears all things, talking about love, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And last time, we talked about, on page 2, in general, the term means giving others the benefit of the doubt, assuming the best and trusting rather than being unduly suspicious. Let's kick off with Philippians 4:8. Let's kick off there. David. And in Philippians 4:8, here's a secret to love. This is a secret to keeping love and bearing love in all things that happen. If you keep your mind here, go ahead.
Philippians 4:8, thus saith the Lord, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
Okay, so he's saying here, themes for thought, a deeper thought. You hear me use the expression, you got to be on high ground. The way you get on high ground is you don't look at the world, you don't listen to your flesh. Instead, you do the things that Paul says. Whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, or of good report, or has any virtue in it, put your mind there. Because if your mind is there, it's not on self, it's not on the world. And all that stuff, by the way, is what carnality is. Let me just ask you to give me examples of what you think carnality is, because these are the opposite of it. Carnality, what is carnality? What does it mean to you? That's a good way to put it.
Sin.
That's not application, that's a term.
Yeah.
So give me an application. Go ahead.
When you're raw with someone, spicy.
Okay, okay.
Desire in the world, the things of the world.
Okay.
Broad.
Yeah. How about this? When I'm angry for no reason, when I'm thinking about everything and God isn't even close to being in the equation, and all I'm doing is complaining and looking back and being negative. How about that? What'd she say?
She said you were in your house.
No, I wasn't. But I'll tell you what, that's in everybody's house because everybody does that occasionally. And to get on the high ground, you have to ditch that. Well, let me ask you this. What benefit or what grace or what good does that do you to have those kind of thoughts in your head?
No.
Zero. So why do we do it?
Because it's our nature. That's the old man coming up.
Yeah, but you know what? You are a new creature.
Right.
And as that new creature, you have a new nature. The old man is crucified, but it doesn't mean he's not wagging his mouth.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what you meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if it bears no fruit and we know it offends God, why do we do it? We want it. That's the answer. We want it. We want to do it. Right? So think about this. Just think about this. Jesus Christ was punished. He was tortured. A crown of thorns, a bloody robe ripped off his back, all of that stuff, and then crucified for all of the things that we do because we want to do them still. He paid for all of those sins. Understand something. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't take our sins. He was punished for our sins. That's why the penalty of the law has been fulfilled in all of us that know him as our Savior. And so why would we have those terrible thoughts if it's those thoughts and those thoughts to God is almost, it isn't almost, it's the same as doing it, isn't it? If you look at a woman with lust or a man with lust in your eyes, it's like you committed a fornication or adultery, either one. So why would we offend God when he went to that cross and suffered everything you can possibly imagine so that we wouldn't be held guilty for all of that? We do it because we're not training ourselves not to do it. There's not one of you here sitting here that know Jesus Christ is your Savior that does not have the power to overcome all of that. At points, are you not on high ground? Do you not think about things that are noble, just, pure, and things of virtues? Don't you do that? But you notice how easy it is to slide off that hill? It's real easy, ain't it? That's the problem. It's not the problem of getting up there because you were imputed with that. The problem is staying up there and not sliding down the hill. And how do we keep from sliding down the hill? In verse 9, what'd you say? Yeah, you got it. Yeah. You get it?
I have a quick question.
Yes.
What we just read, Philippians 4, 4 through 7.
Yeah.
If you go up and read Philippians 4, 2 through 3, then it reflects on 4 through 7. So I was trying to put the things together. There's three steps here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you read 4 through 7, in my mind anyway, that tells you in verse 8 and 9 above. You know, if you read...
Yes, I get it, yeah.
That's how I'm understanding it. So whatever, when that number 8, verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, well, what's true? Look at 4, 5, and 6, and 7
mm-hmm.
is true.
It's all true.
So it's just attitude.
It's all attitude.
That's why I'm looking at it.
That's right. Attitude. And your attitude to be on high ground should be stronger than your attitude to slip off. Yeah.
And I also look at this list as what we should be looking for in people and in our situations. We should be looking for what is true,
yes.
looking for what is
yes.
honorable,
yep. Yep.
keep ourselves surrounded by these things.
Mm-hmm. That's what the verse is that we're looking at in 1 Corinthians.
You can even use wisdom in that, too, because you've got to be with God's wisdom, too,
in what?
Certain situations.
It's always God's wisdom. Yeah. You have to use that.
Yeah.
But see, you know what it is that I don't know how to make this, I want to phrase it right. I don't know how to make you understand this. Everything you need to be on high ground, you already have. Everybody has it, except the one thing, the will to do it. And you have to think, and what is it that we can think about that will help change our will and give us a more righteous will? What is the one thing that can do that?
Faith. Yeah. The word. Faith.
You have faith.
The word.
Okay. The word. What else?
The Holy Spirit is in you.
That's true. That's all true. But that's not what I'm looking for.
The desire to do
attitude.
So.
That's close. That's real close, right? You got to love God more than yourself. Because every single thing you said is true. But the big deal is I still love to do it occasionally. I like to partake of it occasionally. No one's ever going to be perfect. I wish Wink was here to tell me that. But it's true. Nobody's going to be perfect. You're going to sin. But we have the ability to grow away from sin and grow closer to God. What does the Bible say in James 22? No, be doers of the word. I'm thinking of the one that says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And how do you draw near to God? How do you do that?
His word.
His word, but wait, that's not true. That's true, but that's not the answer. See, we use the word all the time. And you know, it's like a crutch. Yeah, I'm in God's word, I'm doing this and that, and then, okay, I'm done, I'm going out into my life, and as I'm going out into my life, all of a sudden, The phone rings, somebody talks to me, all of a sudden something happens, I get a notice about something. God's word is doing you no good because you're not going from taking God's word when you read it and saying, okay, I'm going to work now. But you say, oh, I'm really sorry, that isn't going to happen. But you know what? Let's just not worry about it now. Let's just do what we have to do. And then walk away and say, Lord, thank you for that. And would you take care of that for me? And then you go back to another problem. See, the problem with it says we always say the word, but we fail to take it with us everywhere we go. We fail to put him in it every single, in every equation of our life. And you're not going to get that perfect either. But the more you do it, the easier it is to do. Number one, and the more results you see. I'm thinking of a conversation I had with one of you this morning. And they said, I'm just at that plateau now where everything just seems to make so much more sense to me. I'm drawing closer to God. I see God in everything. Everything I do, I feel his blessings in my life. That's growth. And that's where, and that's how you keep your attitude, as Clark said, or somebody said, you keep your attitude on high ground. If you don't keep it on high ground, I'm telling you, it's going down. It's going down.
Well, what do you always say? Kill will?
Kill will. Yeah. Remember that? Remember that a long time ago? Okay. No, it was, what's it? Will or, yeah, I did say that. But there was a, what was the name of that back in the day, that guy? Kill. Leroy.
Oh, Leroy.
Yeah, remember Leroy?
Kilroy.
Kilroy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kilroy. Yeah, that's what it was. Okay. We went back far enough. Yeah. All right, let's look at that number one. Everybody understand that? You're to be doers of the word, not hearers only, not readers only. You need to be doing the word, and you need to be taking, not and keep not using, saying the Bible is the answer, and then going out and leaving the Bible at home. You need to bring it with you. How hard is it to remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? How hard is it to remember, all things work together for my good? How hard is that to take with you every single day? And what that is a spiritual remedy for negativity, for looking back, for being carnal. It's a negative remedy. And the reason is because if you have God in your mind, heart, and mouth, you're not going to have you. Put another way, you got to forget about it. You got to forget about the old person. You got to forget about the flesh. Politics, no politics. Let it all go. If you were just to cut that out of your life, your biases, cut that out of your life, the carnal slope wouldn't be like this. The carnal slope might be like that. Just those few things, get them out of your life. You don't need them.
Paul calls it, he doesn't, like you were saying, it's not in us. We're new creations. Mm. And he breaks that down in chapter 7 of Romans, where he says, it's the law that's near me that makes the evil be present in my life. Not in me, but it's present.
Yeah.
Because that's the old law.
Yeah. He says, with my mind I want to serve God, but with my heart I serve sin. Okay? But that tells us, though, the fact that you're never going to get it completely right, but that it's a struggle. And isn't that the struggle we're fighting? And why do we do it? It's going to be Memorial Day. Why does soldiers, sailors, Marine and airmen and Coast Guardmen and space cadets or whatever they're called, why do all of them join the military? Why? They're not conscripted. They go because they want to. They go because they love America. When I was in the service, I went because I loved America. I did. I thought there was a war and the country needed people to do it. Sure, count me in. See, so we got to love God that way. We have to love God. And you know what? You need to think about that. Think about how much you love God in the course of every day. At the end of the day, as you're laying down, fluffing up your pillow, getting ready to lay down, say, how much today did I love God and how much today did I love myself? Take that home. Do it. That's an exercise. And when you do that, you're going to get an answer. And if you don't do it, you're getting an answer. Even if you don't do it, you're going to get an answer for it. Yeah.
Romans 8:5-9 is kind of backs up.
Go ahead. What is it? Romans
8:5-9.
8, 5 through 9. Go ahead and read it. Give everybody a second to get there. Romans 8, 5 through 9. Yes, she is.
It's all good.
I know. Okay, go ahead. Okay, so you can stop at 7, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Every single time we go on a carnal foray, and we're on low ground, every time we do that, it's a sin. That's what you got to call it. It's a sin. You need to say to God, Lord, I did something today, several times today, and I want to thank you for convicting me of it. I confess it as sin. I should not have thought those things. I should not have done those things. I should not have included those things in my day, but I did. And so I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's another thing that's lacking is true repentance, is to know that you did something that was a sin instead of just blowing it off. God knows, God hates sin, and just one sin that you know you did, confess it, get rid of it, because he takes sin that seriously. You got to remember something. I know it's hard for us to do this because we're just human, if you will. But the sacrifice that God made, if you look at it from a theological point of view, the essence of that sacrifice was the greatest example of loving us, his people, that he could ever show. There's nothing greater. There's absolutely nothing greater than the love that the Father had in John 3:16 to sacrifice his son. And we look at that as he died for us, our sins. We look at it almost as a cliche. That's the word I'm looking for. Not a cliche. His blood.
Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Judgment
and I know. That was a sign of his perfection. Okay, so get rid of the carnal mind. Go to bed this coming week. That's your homework. And ask yourself before you close your eyes, how much of my day did I love God, and how much of my day did I love me? And if you don't do the test, then you have your answer. If you do the test and you don't like the answer, I did too much for me, I love me more than God, then tomorrow do something better. Period. Right? Okay. New material. That being said, believing all things doesn't necessarily mean being naive, gullible, or believing lies. Rather, it fosters a spirit of trust. Is that true? Right? Somebody, you hear something about somebody, what's the first thing? Well, I don't doubt he did that. Right? Do you know that? No. Well, then why would you think that? And in love, how could you think that? How could you think that? Nobody here should be a soothsayer. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know the future. You don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. I told you the story. Somebody was going to a party. He didn't make it. They went to check on him. He was in a car with his hands on the steering wheel or the keys, one or the other. He was going, but God said, no, today's your day. You're coming home. Do you understand? You don't know the future. You don't know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. So why project what you think you know into somebody, and at the same, and how many times have you done that and found yourself to be absolutely incorrect? Right? We all do that. We all think of things about people and we find out, oh man, I'm sorry I felt that way, right? Don't do it. Think of everything in a positive way. That's another thing. I can tell you this. Some of you have already felt it. I'm having this real, real big issue with negativity. I'm almost hyper positive. I don't see why anything in a believer's life can be negative. I can see the concern about pain. I can see the concern about situations. I can see the concern, but I can't see the negativity in it. There's a difference. What's the difference between concern and negativity? If somebody said to you, what would you tell them?
Don't let it bother you.
What?
Don't let it bother you. I mean, people, you know, it's all around us.
What?
Negativity.
Yes.
Okay, chaos. So it's to not, we have to live above. We have to live here, but live above. Mm-hmm.
But what is the difference between negativity, a negative thing, and a...
Concern.
And a concern thing, thank you. Negative or concerned?
Intense.
That's okay, yep. What else?
A lack of trust in God.
Boom! There it is. You're concerned, but you still trust in God. When you're negative, you've given up on God. Period. I don't care what it is. You've given up on God the very moment that you have negativity in your life. Concern is, I trust in you, Lord, but I'm a little concerned. My car door won't open and that train's about to hit me. I'm concerned about that. But I haven't given up the trust. You understand? When Jesus said, Father, why have you forsaken me? When he made that statement, everybody says, wow, all that. The fact of the matter was, it was a cry of trust in him. He trusted the Father and was with the Father throughout eternity. And as Jesus, the God-man, he was with him all of his life. It was Jesus the man. But it was also a prayer. Understand this. Whenever you talk to God, you don't have to say the Our Father. That's not really a prayer per se. But when you break it apart, it becomes a prayer. When you talk to God in any way, shape, or form, it's a prayer. Right? I don't care what it is. When he said to them, why have you forsaken me? It was a prayer of trust. He trusted that God was with him, even when he knew that he couldn't look upon him at that particular moment in time. Because God, the Bible says that God can't look upon sin. It doesn't mean that. It means that he won't look upon sin. So that was a form of trust. And then when he said, Father, here he goes through all of this. He gets punished for 3 hours. And at the very end, when everything was completed, he said, Father, I commit my soul to your spirit. That's a prayer of trust. See, when we're negative, we're not trusting God. We're calling him a liar. How can you say everything's going to work out for my good? Every time I turn back, that situation never changed. Those people were hurt by me, or I did something I shouldn't have done, or whatever the guilt is. What was that?
The phone went off.
Oh. No. That's why we should shut the phones off, really. Or put them on mute.
So that's the idea. That's what the sermon, I care, I don't care, concern.
Yes. Concern is, look up, if you want to listen to 40 minutes of the difference, look up the sermon, I care, but I don't care. There's a difference. Everybody understand that? Yes. Don't be negative. Don't look back. And no matter what's going on in your life, understand that it was put there by the sovereign God for your good. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you should rejoice in the idea that he put it in your life because he put it there to help you, not to hurt you. He will not hurt his child. He will not. And although it looked like Christ, look what he allowed to happen to Christ. It was for our good. Imagine if he didn't go. We'd all be on our way to hell. Do you understand that? So you need to put these ideas that we're talking about, take them out of your head and put them into your life. And the first way to do that is to understand that if you're concerned about something, it's okay. But when you start getting negative about something or negative, and what does negativity do to your faith?
It erodes it.
Yeah, like this. Yeah. You know what the words that come about in my head when I allow that to happen, which I really don't do very often now, but I used to do it? Two words. What if? What if?
Yeah.
Right?
Dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah.
What if?
Yeah.
So if you don't allow that to happen, then all you're, then all you'll ever do is be concerned about the things that are happening when?
Right now.
And what did Jesus say about food and remnant? What did he say? He said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow. What did he tell the guy who was going to build a barn and put all of his crops in it? I'm going to have your soul. You understand that? So we have, if we really believe what this, and we always say the Bible, if we believe the Bible, then we have to say, I believe the Bible and I'm living the Bible. I'm making an example. If for nobody else, I'm making an example for myself. When he says examine yourself, and then he says, and test it, he simply means consider your life and how you're living next to the word of God, and then go out and test it and see if it's true. That's what he's saying. I'm telling you the same thing. Take all the things I've said and bring them home and test them in your life. And if you're just concerned, well, that's a home run. But if you're anxious, and if anxiety trumps concern, then you have a major problem. A major problem. Here, Zach.
Yeah, I was always guilty of overthinking things, right? But then in Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God.
What is overthinking? What is that exactly? Other than you understand what it means, but in a spiritual realm, what is overthinking? What would you classify that as?
No trust.
Where's God in the equation? How many times do you find yourself in a position where you say, oh man, I got to make this decision and I don't know which way to go. And then you labor over it. And while you're doing that, you got to remember something. God, his eyes are always upon his people. He's watching you. So you imagine if you had a little kid and that little kid was squirming and thinking, oh, I got to go to school tomorrow. I got to face this person or face a bully or whatever it is. I got to do this. How it would bother you to watch that child do that. And wouldn't you intercede? Wouldn't you? Well, God intercedes. And my point to you is you don't have to do that. Whatever you face, whatever it is you face, who knows what Romans 8:31 says, without looking. You see, now I want to stop right there. That is the simplest verse in the Bible. It shows you we know it. As soon as we say, oh yeah, but we don't know it enough to say, I know it because I'm using it. And the reason you don't know it is because you're not using it. What you're doing is you're using the Bible as a crutch to say, yeah, I'm a Christian and I know God and he knows me and we have a great relationship. But when it comes to using it, I'm not any good at it. What does Romans 8:31 say? Who could not remember that? Yeah.
I say the phrase all the time,
exactly.
But
there are many things I pray for, and I use the thing, but I don't know where it is in the book. I just know it.
I don't concentrate so much on the book and the verse.
I just know the phrase.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. That's a good point. How do you use something if you don't know what to call it? That's what it is.
I have to tell them, God, in Romans. 31.
What do you mean? How do you know God is for you if you're anxious? If you are overthinking something?
You pray.
No, but I know that. But how do you know that God is for you? That's what I'm saying.
This is what tells me.
But he tells you, but so he's telling you, you're right. So he's telling you, and how is that affecting you? Are you now not overthinking? At that moment when it was happening?
Yes.
Do you bring that, does Romans 8:31 come to your mind?
It gives me peace when I pray that way. Because I know when I'm anxious or angry.
And do you pray that God is for you?
Yes, I've done that millions of times.
Okay. But I'm not saying you know the verse, but what I'm saying to you is that's the way you do it.
Yes.
But knowing the verse, Romans 8:31, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. You don't need to know the stuff, but having the verse available means that you're claiming something specific. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm simply saying,
be still.
Yeah, be still and know that I'm God, right?
That's so that you can show to somebody else too.
That's another thing. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I would remind you, before we had cell phones, we all remembered phone numbers, right? We all remember the number of our house, right? Yeah, we were younger, but you know. So what I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to make, and perhaps I'm not making it right, is we can't just read the Bible. We need to carry the Bible in our head and in our heart with us and live it, period. And if you do that, whether you know the verse number or not, as long as you're using it. And if you're not using it, that's the problem. That's the problem.
But Carrie's point is even more so, because I know the verses. I never bothered to think about
them. It's in there somewhere.
But now I struggle trying to, where is that? I know it's in there somewhere. Yeah. But she's right, because if somebody asks you something, you should be able to say.
Exactly.
Here's the verse. Write something in the card. Then I would go to my phone. What would I write? Here's the verse. What number is it? And it will.
Yes.
So we become reliant on that, where we should be trying to.
Yes, and you should. And here's another reason why you should do that. It's because it's something else for you to take your mind off carnal things. It's just another thing to remember. If you have to remember something, why wouldn't you remember the number? And by the way, well, you don't have to, but. But I'm just saying, I'm sorry, but what I'm saying to you is, if you're talking to somebody, and that was a good point, if you're talking to somebody and they say, how come you're at peace like that? Well, my God and his word tells me that I can be still and know that I'm God. I know that he's going to take care of me. Then if something is going on in my life, God is for me. Who's going to be against me? And I'm not, and what about your illness? Well, if I die, it's okay, because I'm never going to really die. The Bible tells me. Makes it abundantly clear, 1 Corinthians 15:55, that there's no sting to death, there's no victory in the grave. You don't have to say the whole verse. You what? Oh, that's the, no, open up the book and let them read it. That's the best way to do it. But we don't always have that option. And I'm referring right now, specifically, I'm referring to ourselves personally, taking the things that we know in the Bible and putting them in our life. Not just saying, not just in everything. And the more things you put it in, the more things you put it in, the more you'll be blessed. But you have to understand something. God does not, he looks at every sin. And if you're doing it, you got to ask him to forgive you. You need to do that. Yeah.
When my mom was in the hospital, she had this young lady. She had to be intertwined. Very young lady. That kept saying, go pray with her, go pray with her, go pray with her. And, you know, I was sitting there and I was like, okay, I'll hear it one more time, and then I'll go pray with her. So I went and prayed, you know, I asked her, are you any, you know, religion or anything? And I said, can I pray with you? So I prayed with her for healing and comfort and to get to know the Lord. And then I did a job at 316. It was just, I could see it. I mean, she's bordering. She doesn't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, but I could see the comfort in her face after it. Of course, she was crying.
Mm.
And, you know, so God's there. He tell, you know, he's telling me to do something. Do it. Because I felt like if I don't do this, I'm going to walk out of this hospital and not know if that young lady's okay. I still don't know if she's okay.
Yeah. But the point of it is, it doesn't matter, because God's always in charge of that. You did what you were led to do. And that's a leading, right? And you listened.
I said, get to know the Lord.
And I would have probably added, if you don't know the Lord of Scripture, then here's a track. And give her a track. Yeah. That's another thing, too. You got to remember something. We have a responsibility to God. He calls us an ambassador. He calls us members of a royal priesthood. He calls us, what else does he call us? He calls us
Adopted sons.
Yeah, adopted sons. And so we have a responsibility. And honestly, from my perspective, okay, from my perspective, I wouldn't just want to know. I wouldn't want to just know the verses. I'd want to know where they are. Why? If for nothing else, to make me feel more comfortable in knowing that I'm talking about a specific thing, and if I want to talk to Pam about something, I can get it. And even now, if I'm talking to somebody and I don't know what the verse is, I'll stop and I'll say, let me look it up, and I'll find it. Because it's more, it brings me comfort in using it the way it was really written to be done. Using it, otherwise, because actually all the manuscripts had no numbers in it. It was just no punctuation, it was just words. So by breaking it up like that and giving it numbers and chapters, it's easier to remember, and I think it's more fulfilling to say that. I wrote this chart a long time ago. I wrote that chart. These are the most used verses, I think, in Scripture, and they give you the book and the verse. Actually, it's a very good way. This is a very good way to take this home and pick one or two. Do it for a week. I guarantee you, after a week, you'll know the verse. You'll know where it is, too. I saw somebody's hand. Pam.
You're right, because it takes time to learn the scripture.
It takes time what?
It takes time to learn the scripture.
It does.
And the more you read, I mean, we've been saved for 50 years. And it's the fact that you're right. It's important to be able to share if Harry's right with other people. Mm. And I've been teaching you this, like, okay, and they have a question. I'm able to turn to an answer and show them in the Bible. But it does take time to learn those things. Mm. It doesn't come overnight.
No.
And the more you read the Bible, the more you're absorbing it. You don't even realize it.
Mm.
And it does. It becomes a part of you.
Mm. Only when you live it, though. Because
yeah.
You really can't. One second. You really can't, and this is a truism. It's impossible to truly understand Scripture until you live it. For example, you will never know comfort until you're really in need of it. I mean, big time. Okay, right, Libby. You'll never know what joy is. Until you're saved and you feel the glory of God inside your life, no, for whatever you're doing, He's just there. You were telling me about that today. The joy of God, all of it is there. Yeah.
All of this stuff, and we don't know where everything is that we would like to. And Thomas and I do it all the time. Like, where's that verse? I'll just ask Google, and it tells me. Nope.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's. Yes. Sorry.
I send out scripture cards to people, as every one of you know.
Mm.
And I've got 8.5 by 11 sheets of labels in my folders this thick. And when I'm sending a scripture card to somebody,
mm-hmm.
I pray for that person. I look through all of the ones that I've used in the past, and there are some on there that I don't even have.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know where it is, but I try to think of what that person is going through, even if it's happy birthday. There are many cards that I send like that. There are other cards that somebody's going through something, and I hope that the Lord will lead me to something that might encourage them or comfort them or help them in some way before I actually slap it down on the cardboard and send it out to them. My point is, I don't know where all of those are. You know.
You use them.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So I just thought of something. It just came to me as you were speaking. The reason the numbers are important, where they are, is because they add validity to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. they add the validity. This is God's word, John 3:16. This is God's word, John 8:44. And when you do that, it adds validity to what you're saying. Otherwise, it sounds like you may in your heart know that, but if somebody else is listening, it could be invalid. But when you quote a scripture, that's proof that you're quoting God's word. And it's important to do. I think it's important to do. And to be quite frank, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to do it. I mean, if you know the verse, that's half the battle. Just know. Well, if you don't remember, nobody's going to remember them all. But the more of those you practice, and let me ask you something. If you're not practicing that, what are you practicing? What are you practicing? In other words, if you're gonna have so much time in a day to do something, why not do something that's fun? I find it fun to remember those things. I forgot all about where it said it is impossible to please God without faith. And it bothered me because I couldn't remember. I knew it was in Hebrews, but I couldn't remember where it was. And then I looked it up, and it's Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible. And it goes on and says more, and I got to get back to remembering that. So you're going to forget it, but the point is put forth the effort and watch what happens. God will help you with that. All right, let's close. Any questions?